Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. During the decline of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, we've been homeschooling ourselves for 9 to 50 years, for multiple generations, and I'm thankful for it. Homeschooling has presented wonderful opportunities, obviously not a panacea, yet providing an opportunity, an atmosphere for reformation. We're going to talk about that on this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. Well, back to Rockland Academy Charter Schools in California. Bad news from Rockland Academy Charter Schools in California. They're out near Sacramento. They welcomed a transgendered five-year-old into the kindergarten class this year. Big controversies surrounding the whole thing, Bill. Bill Jack in studio here from Worldview Academy. And you've been out there. Worldview Academy has classes in that neck of the woods.
Yes, we do. We do a camp at William Jessup University, Christian okay. University there, and well-attended. And so I'm familiar with the area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sacramento is an interesting place. It was the home of the Western branch of the Transcontinental Railroad. It was home to the Gold Rush, and now it's home to Let's Teach Little Kids to Be Transgendered.
Yep, that's right. And, of course, California has led much of this liberalization, progressivism in the area of education. Rockland Academy Charter Schools, and people say, well, charter schools, see, they've got to be good. They've got the uniforms going.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, just throw a uniform on a kid. Everything's good, you know. But again, Rockland Academy Charter Schools in California welcome this transgender five-year-old and apparently a six-year-old child inadvertently misgendered the five-year-old on the playground and was sent off to the principal's office. And we've referred to the story several times thus far, but the California Charter School Board voted unanimously on Monday that they would not let children opt out of lessons on transgenderism. That was just this last Monday. So it was a five-hour, highly charged meeting attended by more than 500 people on Monday night.
Yep. And the recommendations that they reviewed included affirming the district's literature selection policies and accommodating students who weren't comfortable using a particular bathroom. And the book that started all this was I Am Jazz.
Right, okay. which is a book about a transgendered kid.
Right.
And so, you know, it's hard to believe that 500 people showed up to discuss the reasons why all the kindergarten kids at the school have to take Transgenderism 101. It just, if the school is going to allow one student to engage in transgenderism, then pretty much everybody's got to be on board. See, that's the issue here. So in a sense, the reasoning is understandable. If the school is going to allow one student to engage in cannibalism for his school lunch or bestiality or whatever it is, then all of the other kids need to be on board. Right. They at least need to understand there are good reasons for this.
We need to affirm that.
Well, yes, exactly. Choice. Exactly. So it's dragging the entire school into a unanimity on one particular moral issue of the day because there are certain sins that can't be hid. And I think that's the issue. They're not going to do the same thing with lying or stealing or fornication per se, because you can do fornication, do your porn somewhere else. But if you're going to transgender, that's a sin you're going to drag out for all of humanity to witness. And same thing probably for cannibalism and bestiality is my guess. Of course, certainly the same thing applies to homosexuality. It's hard to cover up some sins. And so they have to be public. They have to be made public. And eventually they have to have the approval of the Supreme Court of the United States. And there's probably only going to be 3 to 4 Christian pastors left in the nation that will stand against some of the very, very, very worst sins that have been dragged out of the closet over the last 20 years or so.
You know, it's interesting because Beryl Maine of Auburn, California, arrived with other members of the LGBT community. And they were holding signs that said, trans rights are human rights. Trans kids have courage and love and let love. And she said, it's important tonight to support transgender children. It's not about me. It's about transgender children. And so this is, you know, let's force upon little kids the agenda that we have.
Well, when a sin becomes so incredibly outrageous, that you need unanimity to approve of what your guilty conscience is telling you is the absolute most abominable thing any human can ever do, then we wind up with where we are today with homosexuality and transgenderism. Friends, please understand that when the emperor does something so outrageous, when he approves of some sinful condition that is so outrageous, as in walking around nude in public, he is going to need a pretty significant propaganda campaign to approve of his actions. Does that make sense? And that's where we are right now. You've got to have unanimity. You cannot have one little kid saying, the dude's nude.
No.
You can't allow for that.
No.
You can't have a six-year-old in the playground saying, there's something weird, there's something off, this is not right. You cannot allow for a tiny little voice anywhere from any little basement operation like ours to take issue with the Supreme Court of the United States. It's going to be absolutely forbidden. Why? Because the sin itself is so outrageous and so abominable to the human conscience. That's why.
And that's why we have to make everybody endorse it.
That's right. Well, friends, we're going to talk a little bit more about this in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. What do Christians do? What do Christians do? Come on, we've got to address these things as Christians. Let's take down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. Take every thought captive now. And we'll be back in just a moment.
For many centuries, liberal arts education in Christian high schools and colleges has had a fatal flaw. The great humanist thinkers have led millions of Christian young people astray through the very doors of Christian liberal arts classrooms. Unless we introduce a critical analysis of worldview into liberal arts education, Christian education will be utterly consumed by the humanists. And that is why Generations is pleased to present Worldviews in Conflict, a high school or college introduction to and critical analysis of the philosophers, the literary masters, and the cultural influencers of the last 300 years. A refreshing improvement of most philosophy and literature courses, this course is filled with relevant biblical truths that address the false worldviews of the great secular humanist works. If you want your children to be part of the next generation of faithful Christian leaders, equip them to critically evaluate the works of Karl Marx, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Steven Spielberg, William Shakespeare, Mark Twain. Get the Worldviews in Conflict Literature and Philosophy course and the free Jean-Jacques Rousseau Study Guide at generations.org.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we take a look at the California Charter School Board that unanimously voted not to let any child opt out of lessons on transgenderism in their kindergarten and first grade classrooms. This, my friends, the charter school movement in America. Some perceive this to be something of a reformation in the area of education in the 1990s. Remember that, Bill? Everybody's so excited about these wonderful transgender charter schools. Well, at least they're charter schools. They may be pro-transgender, pro-bestiality, pro-cannibalism and everything else, but at least they're the charter school system.
Yeah. At least, you know, parents have a little more say. Little more say. Well, did that pan out for the parents
sure
in Rockland, California?
It sure didn't pan out. I don't think the parents had much of a choice. This thing was railroaded through unanimously, Bill. Yep. Unanimously. No, you can't allow for any dissent whatsoever when it comes to sins this outrageous. I can't believe that 500 people showed up to discuss the reasons why kindergarten kids should be all taking transgenderism 101. They should have been discussing whether publicly funded schools are a good idea in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, can't we get to more basic issues here, my friends? They should have been discussing whether the school itself is turning into a mental institute, whether the entire American public school system has gone stark raving mad. And why aren't they discussing the Greek gymnasium, the whole Greek gymnasium concept? Because this is where they're going. They want to be the Greek gymnasium. They want to thoroughly secularize the school with pederasty and other things. You know, this is how you trained the boys in the Greek gymnasiums before Christ. This is where they want to go, Bill. They want to go to pederasty.
And it's this is obviously the ignoring of parental rights and the establishment of an agenda by the school officials, because the school board in Rockland didn't hear the parents. They listened to the advice of hired administrators and those who were the experts. Now, who's more expert on raising a child? Is it somebody removed in an office, or is it the parent?
Well, presumably the parents are the ones that love their children and want the very best for their children. Of course, the state would take issue with that, of course. Now, have I gone too far in saying that the public school system in America is going stark raving mad?
No, it has for decades.
Romans 1 says, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God. Does that fit the public school system?
So far, so good. Yeah.
Okay, since they did not see it fit to acknowledge God, and friends, that's the way it's been since the 1960s. Since the public schools in America did not see fit to acknowledge God, here's Romans 1 again, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. If that isn't the American public school system, I don't know what else.
Yep.
Incredible. Okay, well, before we're done with the program, you say, what are the solutions? Well, thankfully, there are some reforming movements in America in which a basic reception of a biblical epistemology is returning to some. And I appreciate that we have seen something of that in the biblical counseling movement. We've referred to the biblical counseling movement on a previous program, Bill, in which Jay Adams and others have brought back a biblical epistemology in which we're not going to be bringing in a psychology based up on human reason and displace the sacred doctrine relating to subjects like epistemology, metaphysics, ethics, and psychology, and counseling, and exhorting, and preaching. Okay, my friends, we're not doing this radical separation and removing the Word of God from the application to issues like psychology and to areas like education and to areas like science, for example. The creation science movement of the 1960s has not waned in the 1990s and the 2000s. Actually, it's doing quite well, it seems. As Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis, and others, organizations have done a good job in keeping this issue before Christians in this country, in Australia, England, and elsewhere. We're thankful for there being something, a revival of an epistemological commitment to the authority of the Word of God in the minds of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans, and those from England and Australia and elsewhere. I'm thankful that there has been something of a Christian reformation going on in the minds of Christians who are saying, no, we're going to interpret rock layers by the Word of God as the authority, and we're not going to be interpreting the Word of God and redefining the word yom because of what scientists say is their interpretation of the dating concerning rock layers. The creation movement in America has been so significant, friends, really significant, but also the homeschooling movement. There's one major movement that has weaned people from the statist schools since the 1980s. It's been the homeschooling movement. Now, some have criticized the homeschooling movement. Homeschooling movement has come under criticism big time over just the last 2 to 3 years, largely from Christians or ex-Christians or those who have been homeschooled but are not happy with the results. Now, again, we're not saying, I've clarified this probably 100 times if I've clarified it once. We're not saying that homeschooling is always done right. It's always been the panacea, the cure for all ills. And yet there has been some positives about the homeschool movement since the 1980s. And this is the part that people aren't acknowledging. They don't want to acknowledge it because the statist system works so powerfully and has been so effective at monopolizing the education in America. The other schooling options, by the way, have pretty much failed at weaning. The Christian schools are dropping in attendance. And personally, I would like to see a bit of a break in the monopoly of state control over the education of our kids, state control over the worldview taught to our kids, state control over the ethics taught our kids, ergo whatever's going on in charter schools in Sacramento, California. All right. Well, here's the problem. The problem right now is that Christian schools are fading. They have been fading for 20 years.
Private schools have lost at least 1 million students in the last two decades. Catholic enrollment is down to 1.9 million from 2.6 million. What is that? 700,000 drop? That's a 700,000 drop since 1995, friends. Now, again, I'm not saying that Catholic schools are the solution to the world's problems, but I am thankful that there are sometimes a bit of a break in the monopoly that the statist systems have over the minds and the hearts of 200 million kids. By the way, conservative Christian school enrollment has dropped down to 614,000. Bill, only 614,000 conservative Christian kids left in America.
What?
At least attending Christian schools. 614,000 conservative Christian kids in America, down from 900,000 in 1995. What is that, a 300,000?
Yeah.
Population decrease, friends. I'm telling you, this thing's bleeding. This thing's bleeding badly. 30% decrease in Christian school enrollment should have risen and risen. Schools were homosexualized as schools have been transgenderized. Why in the world are Christians running away from the Christian schools? This is sad. Really, really, really sad. Meanwhile, official numbers for homeschooling have grown from about 500,000 to 1.7 million. That's probably about a 1.2 million increase over the same time period. Now, that means that homeschools have pretty much made up the difference. I don't think they've compensated much more for it, but they have made up the difference since 1995.
Do you think that shift is the shift from Christian schools to homeschooling?
See, that's possible.
There's some,
yes,
some of that.
That's possible because homeschooling can be a bit less expensive over against Christian schools and private schools. Well, friends, the statists are more or less in control of the minds and the hearts of the next generation. According to the official numbers from the National Department of Education, there are fewer kids being private schooled by percentage than were in 1995, and by a pretty significant percentage. The statists are even more in control of the minds and the hearts of the next generation. And right now, homeschooling seems to be the movement that's growing and challenging that somewhat. Why? Because homeschooling is the massively decentralized approach in which we are not subjecting ourselves, or we try not to subject ourselves to the standards of the state. It is by far the most decentralized approach to education, which parents are calling the shots. And from a biblical perspective, parents ought to have jurisdictional control over the education of the children. Very, very clear. Find that in the Word of God, Deuteronomy 6, 7, Ephesians 6, 4, the book of Proverbs. God does not place the control of children under the state. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, it's considered a curse as children are turned over to the economy of the state versus the economy of the family. Check it out in 1 Samuel 8 if you want to read what the Word of God says about these things. Friends, the homeschool movement, though, is somewhat of a mishmash. You have homeschooling people enamored with the pagan Greeks. I'm guessing they like the Greeks, but they probably don't like what was going on in the gymnasiums. But you still have a significant proportion of homeschoolers that are fairly enamored with the pagan Greeks. You have people who don't do any academics at all amongst the homeschoolers, like homeschoolers who didn't do anything, like the pirates who didn't do anything. So you have homeschoolers that didn't do anything. There are instances of that. So, again, friends, we add caveats to these things. We're not saying homeschooling's the answer. We're not saying that everybody homeschools has done it successfully or done it rightly. There are parents who don't train their kids in loving, consistent manner, and they fight with their kids, and there's no repentance or no forgiveness or no humility. And so you have parents with these control freak attitudes, and they're angry with their kids every day. They don't do family worship, and, you know, these kids might accidentally do better in public schools because they come across a Christian coach who cares about their souls more than their own parents do. So if you'd say, would it be better for a kid to be homeschooled than public schooled? I would grant that there may be an exception in which a child in a unbelieving home school in which there's no forgiveness, there's no Jesus, there's just a bunch of angry control freaks running around, I would guess a child like that may do better in a public school where he runs into a Christian coach who is able to convey some sort of gospel to him, assuming the man has some courage and some faith. All right. So, again, friends, please understand homeschooling is not the panacea, but homeschooling can represent true repentance and the true fruits of repentance, where there are parents who are humble and realize that God is working on them and God is working on it, their kids as God is working on them. And they submit to it, and they are cross-centered in their relationships. That is, they're forgiving one another. They're being kind one to another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. If they're living the Ephesians 4:32 household approach, if they're living the Ephesians 5 verses 16 to 22 approach in the home, then friends, the homeschool can represent a wonderful opportunity for true repentance and the true fruits of repentance. That is, could a portion of the homeschooling movement represent a reformation of life in which relationships are restored, in which the Holy Spirit of God is working and pouring out love and joy and peace and long-suffering and a hope in which relationships have been restored and we haven't been dissolved into all of our segregated existences in a postmodern cold existentialist world? Is it possible that homeschooling could present the restoration of an environment of relationship in which, now listen carefully, this is the way I'm wording it, in which the Holy Spirit of God is regenerating and bringing wonderful fruits of the Spirit in the home of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance? Yes, of course. The homeschool can represent a great reformation, true repentance, if there's a radical increase in the fear of God, in worship of God, in a Christ-centeredness, in life integration, where there's real discipleship going on. Otherwise, the homeschools and the Christian schools just become a warmed-up version of humanist pagan education found in the public schools. So let's be sure that, you know, if we're going to have a reformation, let's have a reformation. Now, of course, we're calling for a national repentance, especially in the area of family relationships, especially in the area of education. Because, friends, this is the point at which secularism has created the idolatry of humanism. It's right in the area of education in which man has been trained to worship himself and his own mind. And so if we bring the Word of God into the curriculum, we bring the Word of God in and realize that there's a discipleship of heart and life, there's a discipleship of character, there's a discipleship of worship, there's a discipleship of the fear and the reverence of Almighty God that happens in that home, at the same time they're studying the science, the history, and the math, then friends, you've got a reformation on your hands. But again, big if, big if, big if. If there's a radical increase in the fear of God, if there's a radical increase in worship, if there's a generational repentance going on, if we're repenting, if we're humbling ourselves and saying that we've been wrong for the last five generations in how we've educated our children, it hasn't been the worship, there hasn't been the fear of God in the history, the science, there hasn't been a Christ-centeredness in the way we've presented world history. If there's a generational repentance going on, if we're going to find more Christ-centered history, a more God-centered home, then friends, that homeschool could very well represent a great reformation. Now, Malachi 4:6 says, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, that's obviously referring to a relational discipleship. Now, it could be a discipleship where biological fathers happen to be the spiritual fathers, discipling and discipling and doing more discipling. Or it could be other spiritual fathers working in the church, discipling and creating discipleship centers in their homes across America. Yes, I can see there could be discipleship at varying levels, but reformation comes by discipleship. You say, why? Why does reformation come by discipleship? Because that's the Great Commission. Hello? That's the Great Commission. Jesus told us in Matthew 28 to go disciple the nations by teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded. Now, could that happen in a home school? Could that happen in a discipleship center where the focus is not academics? The focus is discipleship and faith and character.
You know, it's often been said that 90% of education is character development. And, you know, that is true.
It should be. It should be. It should be faith and character. We'd add faith as Christians, of course. Faith is basic. Character flows. Okay, so friends, the homeschool movement could represent a great reformation in segments if there's discipleship involved, if there are dads involved who love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength, so much so that they'll teach their children the Word of God as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down, and incorporate it and integrate the Word of God into the raising of their own kids. Where there are fathers, where there are mothers involved, where these fathers and mothers are loving God with their hearts, souls, minds, and strength, so much so they'll teach their children God's word as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. Man, you've got a reformation on your hands. But why? Because it starts with what? A love for God versus a love for materialism, versus a love for wealth, versus a love for self, versus a love for entertainment, versus a love for comforts, versus whatever the world promises. A reformation occurs when there's a great commission discipleship going on. It could be the hearts of biological fathers who happen to be the spiritual fathers, or it could be other spiritual fathers creating discipleship centers across America and discipling young men, as Titus was instructed by the Apostle Paul to disciple the young men, in sobriety, in character, even as the older women are to disciple the younger women. This, my friends, is a biblical approach to life, to discipleship, to education. Check it out. You'll find it in the Word of God. You know, it helps when fathers start shepherding their own households well so they can rule in the household of God. That's 1 Timothy chapter 3. So few fathers know how to shepherd their own children. So few pastors know how to shepherd and disciple in the church because they're not shepherding and discipling their own little flocks, their own little kids in their own homes. So what we need is what? What do we need? We need disciples, disciplers. We need fathers who will disciple their own kids and eventually become disciplers and shepherds, true shepherds in the churches. I'm not talking about seminary professors in the churches. I'm talking about shepherds. What you need is shepherds in the churches. How do you become a good shepherd in the church? By shepherding your own family well first. And then you can shepherd well in the household of God. And that is what brings about a radical reformation of discipleship in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, there's some of this going on across America today. I've witnessed it. It's not a large movement. There are tens of thousands of families involved in the restoration of relationship, the restoration, of course, in the Spirit of God, the fruits of the Spirit working in relationship in our homes, restoring our homes, reconciling one to another in our homes, even as God has reconciled us to Himself by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something real going on, friends. There's something real going on. Now, it's happening by way of the reincorporation of the love of God, the fear of God, the discipleship of our own children, the discipleship within the churches. This is the reformation we're looking for. We're not looking for homeschooling. We're looking for these things that could be incorporated into the environment of a homeschool. Well, thanks be to God for all of the things that He is doing amongst tens of thousands of families across this country and throughout other countries around the world. The Holy Spirit of God is working in relationship, working in family, working in churches, building relationship, providing for opportunities for discipleship. And for this, I'm very thankful. Friends, if you would like more of the vision for the discipleship of our children, not the homeschooling of our children, the discipleship of our children. If you want to know something about this reformation, get a copy of my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. It's called Upgrade. The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. That book, Upgrade, is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Tuesday, September 26th. AD 2017. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Daniel 4:17 says, "The Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." And America's conservatives are split down the middle on today's hotly contested GOP runoff election in Alabama's U.S. Senate race. President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence have both campaigned for Luther Strange, while Steve Bannon, Dr. James Dobson, and Franklin Graham are pushing for Judge Roy Moore. Graham commended Judge Moore for his guts on Facebook, noting that the Alabama judge is, quote, "one of the few willing to stand firm for truth and against the erosion of biblical principles. He sets a good example for all of us. God bless him. He and his family have my prayers," unquote. And Dr. Ben Carson added his kudos for the judge as well. A Signal poll of Republicans in Alabama over the weekend put Judge Moore ahead of Strange at 52-41%, what the polling company called a, quote, "near certain win," unquote, for Judge Roy Moore. The victor will likely trounce the Democrat contender in the general election in this GOP-dominated state. An Albuquerque Mennonite church has appointed a lesbian head pastor. That's a first for the denomination and the fourth homosexual that has been credentialed as a pastor in the Mennonite Church USA. The Mennonites follow in the footsteps of the Evangelical Lutheran Church since 2010, the Presbyterian Church USA since 2012, and the Episcopal Church USA since 2003. Jeremiah 5:30-31 says, "An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction. My people love to have it so. But what will you do when the end comes?" Australia's popular referendum on homosexual faux marriage continues, and polls are saying the yes vote is well ahead at a margin of 57-34%. Only 15% of the voting population has voted so far. The deadline for mailing in ballots is November 7th. The Daily Telegraph reported that thousands of pro-homosexual activists rallied over the weekend in Brisbane, and only 20 showed up at the No Rally in Sydney. Australia, Northern Ireland, and Italy are the last of the major Western nations to hold out on approving of homosexual faux marriage. Ephesians 2:8 declares that by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. But 500 years after the fact, over half of Protestants in America now agree with the Catholics on the doctrine of justification by faith and works. Only 46% of U.S. Protestants believe in justification by faith alone, according to a Pew Research study. The governor of Puerto Rico told CNN that the United States is facing a, quote, "humanitarian crisis," unquote, after Hurricane Maria hit the island Commonwealth last week.
It is nothing short of a major disaster. We have a lot of flooding, a lot of infrastructure damage. Our telecommunications system is partially down. Our energy infrastructure is completely down.
He also forecast a, quote, "mass exodus," unquote, of Puerto Ricans to the U.S. Millions of Puerto Ricans will be without power for months, and most of the buildings have been destroyed or damaged. North Korea's Foreign Minister Ri Yong-ho said yesterday they have taken President Trump's recent comments as a declaration of war against them. Is Obamacare here to stay? Both the right and the left of the Republican Party are not happy with the repeal and replace bill some have dubbed Obamacare Lite, which comes before the Senate this week. Senators Ted Cruz and John McCain have both registered their opposition to the bill. Senator Cruz of Texas appeared on the Houston-based Michael Berry radio talk show.
My biggest concern with Graham Cassidy right now is it preserves too many of the Obamacare regulations. And that's what I'm really pressing with Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy to change. That biggest reason people are hurting under Obamacare is that it's made premiums skyrocket, and it is those regulations that are driving premiums up. So my hope is that we will see the bill give Texas more regulatory flexibility and give consumers more freedom.
Several other Republican senators will reportedly join them to prevent passage. The U.S. violent crime rate has risen for the second year in a row, according to the FBI's annual reporting.
The homicide rate increased 8.6% over the previous year, and the rise in the overall violent crime rate was the largest in 25 years. And finally, a Canadian bride and groom were posing for photos in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada, when the groom spotted a small child drowning in a nearby river. Clayton Cook leapt into the river in his tux and saved the boy's life. The wedding photographer captured the whole scene. The photos, which we have linked at theworldview.com in today's transcript, have gone viral. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, September 26th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.